This is DJ Lady Deed from KZSC Santa Cruz here on the phone with Tropa Magica, a psychedelic cumbia punk brother duo from East LA. And if you would like to introduce yourselves and what you do in the band.
Yeah, hi, I'm Davidito Pacheco. I play guitar and sing for Tropa Magica.
And I'm Rene and I play drums for Tropa Magica.
Cool. And this month, you've been touring for the Para Bailar y Tripear album, your fourth album released last month. Before we get into the album, what is some work you've done or recent performances you've done recently outside the tour? Because I saw that you released a cover of Maná's Me Vale.
Oh, yeah, we did that with for this Disney Plus thing that we did. It's like a movie called Alexander Berrigal, Terrible, Horrible, Very Bad, Terrible, Long Name Movie. And yeah, we did the cover for it.
Maná's Me Vale. How was your experience doing the cover of that one? If you don't mind me asking, did you have the option to do that cover or you were kind of assigned the cover of that? Because I know you've done other references in your songs to other groups.
No, we pretty much got hired to do that song. The director, that's the vision he had, and he was working with Camilo Lara, who's done, he did the soundtrack for Coco, and he worked on the Netflix series, the Narcos, too. He did the soundtrack to Narcos Mexico, and so he did all the arrangement. He pretty much sent us a track, and but he sent it to me, though. It was too high, so I couldn't sing it. I was like, my voice was, like, not reaching those notes. It was, and so I was like, hey, can you, like, lower the notes? And so he changed it for me, and I just recorded the vocals over it like that. But I don't know. I think they cheaped out because they were supposed to fly me to L.A. to record it, like, in a fancy studio, like, private first class. And they ended up just using what I used on my laptop, and I was kind of bummed out about that.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it was recorded on laptop for that one?
Yeah, in my home in New Mexico, because I live out in Santa Fe, Ernesto, in L.A.
Oh, okay, okay. Kind of on that, when you record, are you recording separately in that case? It's like for this last album, Para Bailar y Tripear, did you record that separately or did you record together for that one?
So for the new album, we were recording it all together, but the guy whose studio we were playing at or recording at, he said that like we were playing like with such proficiency and like perfection that his computer blew up. And so we had to like stop mid-session and we were like, what?
No.
How can this be? And so we got all the like bass and drum tracks like in a little USB thingy and then I finished the rest of the album in my home in New Mexico.
And then we cheaped out.
And did it on David's laptop. Yeah.
Full circle on that one.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Now I want to get into the album. So I want to ask, what was your process for creating this album? So is there a story or stories you wanted to tell? You can highlight some particular tracks because there are some cool tracks that stood out to me. The names were Baby Bowser and Y3K. If there's anything you want to talk about, process of the album.
Yeah. I mean, Renee and I, this is the first time where we both collaborated on songs together because usually I'll have like the blueprints for the songs and then Renee kind of like adds to it or he'll suggest like chord changes. But this time he came at it with some songs too. Like, what was it, Limerencia? He wrote and sings for that one. And then for Gengar, he wrote that one. But your version was like super like.
It was like a gothic country vibe.
Yeah. And then I was like, let's just move it around a bit. And then,
which is one of the fun things about working together is that it's just like, for the most part, the ideas are welcome, but we're not attached to it sounding the way it came out. So if it needs to go through any changes, it's like we're completely open to it. And so that's when David suggested, hey, let's do this. I was like, yeah, cool. Let's keep it going. And only if there's like one part that I like, I'll be like, hey, can we just keep that and work around it?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's pretty simple. Just like, let it flow. No need to put a wall up anywhere and just, you know, it came out and that's the way it came out. And I'm fine with it. I think it's dope. It fits the band sound more too. Because since I'm beginning to now write, like I know I might have a different approach, a different sound, and I don't go into it dead set that that's what it should sound like. But if it helps inspire anything cool, if not, then, you know, we have a way of tropa-fying these songs at all times.
Yeah, we just put it through the tropa blender, and then it just gets that sauce. And we're like, hell yeah. It's often duplicated, but never replicated.
Well said. Well said. I like that tropa-fied. Tropa-fied. you gotta trademark that.
Yeah. That's how musically, that album was kind of put together. Lyrically, this is the first time also that we have vinyl or lyrics on the vinyl on the back of it.
Oh, okay.
And it's because like, I feel like these lyrics were a little more like intentional, versus before it was just kind of like fragments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so these have more like themes, you know. And so I was more proud of the lyrics. I'm like, let's include them in this time.
Yeah, you said that the lyrics were more intentional and that you had different themes for them. Is there any themes that kind of are coming at the top of your head that were translated into this album, or themes that you could pick up on?
I think, yeah, like the name and title, or you know, the title encapsulates what the theme was. Like, it was music to dance and trip out to.
Okay.
But there, like, I mean, there's other themes, like for Baby Bowser, that one was kind of like, just talking about, what's it called? I guess, you know how there's all these like bands now that are like quote unquote, like legacy acts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's bands just doing a lot of throwbacks. And so for us, we're just like, well, I just kind of wanted to like sing about that a bit, you know, how it's really easy to make money if you're making music to make money, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay, that's really interesting.
Like, for example, like, you know, if there's niches that are going around, like people doing cumbia, other people doing like throwback, like retro stuff, mm-hmm. or I don't know. I think like it's interesting how there's like this sense of like monetizing Latinidad, or like, you know, like, and so I think that's kind of like what it's like. It's not a very direct like critique of it, but it's just more of an open-ended approach to it.
I like the approach that you're taking with your album, that you're really highlighting that, like, you're highlighting the, like, the culture through music. And something that stands out is kind of that blend of, you know, the English and Spanish usage, and the way that you also blend genres. How did you think that this album changed sound-wise from your other albums?
Sound-wise, I feel like from a recording point of view, we recorded the drums and bass, like, at a legit studio,
mm-hmm.
with a big room, like a big drum room, so it just sounds more of a hi-fi in that sense, whereas the Tropa Tres, Renee recorded that during pandemic on like a, what was it, like
electric
drum kit, just straight into his laptop, and then I just put a bunch of reverb to try to make it sound real.
Okay, yeah.
We're also just, we like, at least not for this out, we didn't go with the intention of anything has to be changed, it was just, or in a more organic matter, it was just kind of like, this is how it's coming out. This is, you know, we ran with it. We didn't like organize anything to be like, this has to sound different, this has to step away. It was just more like, no, we're gonna give them what we already know. Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to ask about the album itself was the cover art, because that really stood out to me. Were either of you involved, or both of you involved, in creating the cover art or giving the vision for the cover art? Because I'm seeing kind of like some dancers like doing folklorico. I'm seeing mushrooms in the back.
Yeah. So the way that it usually goes, like, I make all the artwork for the band, like all the graphics and stuff like that, mm-hmm. Logos and whatnot. And so I just usually get behind a computer and I'm like, all right, I have to make a cover art. And I usually put it to the last minute. And then I'm like, all right, the deadlines, we have to submit the, because for the way it works is that, like, we kind of line up an album release with when the vinyl's going to come out. And a vinyl takes, like, 3 to 4 months sometimes to mm-hmm. press. But you have to send it, like, that far in advance. So when we send the tracks and stuff, they also want you to send the artwork. Y entonces me pongo las pilas, and I'm just like, all right, time to do something. And then, like, I just start grabbing images. Like, the original artwork was a lot different, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it was. I probably have it on my laptop saved somewhere. But it's just like, yeah, like, I like the juxtaposition of like psychedelic images with like, you know, like almost like pop, like pop Mexican stuff. Like, I use a lot of like Loteria stuff,
mm-hmm.
like the Virgencita, you know, like, I kind of like that meshing of the psychedelicness with cool like Mexican pop art.
I really like that. And I kind of like seeing how it flows with the past album covers as well. I'm kind of looking through them right now.
Oh, right, yeah, the astronaut theme, the colors are always like kind of like a turquoise, pinkish. Yeah, for the most part, we try to, like, greenish. burning.
Yeah, you would say there's like a theme with the album covers.
Yeah, I think it just kind of makes people, when they see it, you know, like how record labels will have like their logo on like all their 45s, and it's just kind of like their trademark. I feel like that's us with like certain colors that we use, or certain themes like a disco ball or a spaceman, stuff like that.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask about the tour itself. So you've been having some performances over the next few days, and I know you have a performance tomorrow in Bellingham, Washington. I just wanted to ask, like, how's the tour been going for you so far?
Tour's been going great. This is also like one of those things that was like kind of last minute. I texted Renee, I think I got 3 a.m, and I was like, hey, I'm going to get us some cactus for like a stage props. What do you think? And he's just like, go for it. And so we ended up with like 4 cactuses and 2 palm trees that we're taking with us on stage everywhere. And so it's just been really cool to have like our own like atmosphere, like, you know, like our own like setting. Like, we bring it to each city, and it's like, oh, then, like, Tropa Mágica came through town, you know, they brought those palm trees, and...
Because
I was really impacted by the time we played on... Because last time we were in Santa Cruz, we played at the amphitheater with Chicano Batman.
Yeah, I got to be there. It was a great performance.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the scenery, you know, the covered with trees, and it just felt like you were... You felt like you were in a whole different like dimension or something, almost like that. And I think that's what with this tour has been really cool about touring, is that we create our own dimension each night with our props and stuff. We have like our own blanket to our backdrop that lights up. It's been really fun. I feel like people have been really excited. We're just like learning that touring is like it has to be more than once a year, because. Mm-hmm. Because, like, the way we look at it is, like, we're planting seeds. And every time we go to a city, we're watering, you know, nurturing the seed grow. And if we're only there once a year, como que...
Letting them dry out.
Yeah, so we have to, like, frequent more cities just to kind of keep that grassroots.
And it's... We came to the realization when somebody asked us, hey, when are you guys coming back? And all I could think of was, well, damn, next year. Like, we have an East Coast tour and this and that. It's like, and we got, David and I got talking, and it was like, we got to come back more often, like once a year.
At least like twice a year, minimum.
Minimum twice. 4 would be cool, but that can get crazy.
Yeah, and you're talking about different cities you've been like touring in. I'm wondering if there's any cities or states that you've either toured in or even visited for the first time through this tour.
Oklahoma
City. We were in Denton, Texas for the first time as well. Bellingham, we played it 2 years ago, but the show was like super last minute. The venue canceled on us. So Bellingham, I would say, is more like the official first time this time around.
Yeah, like, but so it's still great, though, overall. So,
but yeah, we're hitting new cities for sure.
Yeah, like Yuma, we've been there before, but it still feels kind of new.
That was 2 years ago.
Yeah,
but so that's why it also feels like, oh, there's nobody here.
yeah
so you're circling back.
Yeah, and I mean, there's certain cities that we feel more like I mean, all of them feel like people come out, go out of their way to come see us, but there's some that we're like, okay, we got to build this one more, and we got to keep working on this city.
yeah because it's not doesn't feel like a downer, because when people do show up, because we work our own merch, and it's for this reason, because we like to talk to people. We like, somebody asked, I think David, they're like, why are you guys working your own merch? And it's like, well, because we want to get to know you guys. And they're like, oh yeah, it's a good idea. So we get to know them, they talk to us, and so I've seen a lot of the excitement and enthusiasm people come with, and new people that are showing up, and all types of people too. And so that's always kind of like a nice little motivator. It's like, yeah, we got to come back more, like, and continue to build on this. Can't just give them a 1 year show.
Except for Big Spring, Texas. We're never going back there.
No. Oh, no.
Big Spring? Yeah, Big Spring. They have good chicken wings, but yeah, nobody showed up for that show.
Well, nobody's there.
And then, they made us sing out of like a karaoke speaker.
Oh.
It was terrible.
And that was for this tour?
No, that was for last
year. Oh, okay, okay. Got it. You talked about some cities that you really want to build on. I'm wondering if there's like this, what cities you especially enjoy performing in. Also curious to know, if you've had any favorite listener fan interactions over the past few years.
What I mean is that you see the enthusiasm from everyone, like even Oklahoma, that which was surprising. Everyone came ready. Yeah, like for every one person, it was like 3 or 5 of them.
Like
energy wise.
Some people drive, like when we're in Denton, some people drove out from Lubbock, Texas, and they said it was like 5 hours just Whoa. Because we hardly ever go to that part of Texas. So they drove out, made a whole weekend out of it. In Oklahoma City, these fans came from, Arkansas? They drove like 3 hours and we were just like, whoa, this is crazy. But I feel like favorite cities for sure are like, Reno's really fun.
Oh, we love Reno.
Santa Cruz is always really fun.
There we go.
Yeah, Reno gets crazy. Boise was really fun this time.
Boise? Yeah. Because
we've been there a lot for Treefort Festival.
So you've performed there like a few different times. So you kind of gotten to see like... Okay, yeah. Yeah, I'm curious to know as well. Do you have any name for your listeners? You call your fans something amongst yourselves or you have a name for them? Just out of curiosity.
The homies.
I like that. I like that. Okay.
Christian calls them the... He's listening, but he's kind of just playing video games over there. He's playing bass with us. He's been playing with us for 2 years. But what do you call him? The...
Tropa Army.
The Tropa Army? I call them the Tropitas.
Tropitas, like, Tropa Army.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Tropitas.
Tropitas.
Sugar daddies and sugar mamas. Without them.
There's a few different names circling around in that case. Yeah. Well, what is it that you enjoy about performing, you know, either through this tour, just in general? What kind of excites you about performing live in front of a crowd?
It's like when you go to the gym and you, like, work out in front of a mirror. But you feel good, you're like, oh, I'm getting, building it up.
That's a great analogy.
Like, watch us do some cardio up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it feels like there's a lot of like there's a spiritual answer to that, and then there's just kind of like a vain answer to that. But overall, you know, at least at this point for me, after like reigniting an appreciation for playing the drums. Like every night, like I get to do that, you know, as a job. I'm just like, wow, this is great. And I know it's cheesy as that sounds, like you can, you know, you play an instrument for so long that at some point you just sort of plateau with it, but then you start finding inspiration and then that starts leading you to a different route, you know. And that's kind of now why I'm on tour every day. It's just like, wow, actually, you know, because I think prior to that, like, it can get monotonous and you're just sort of like over it. I mean, you enjoy doing it, but there's just something about it where you're just like stale. And so to have that, you know, passion reignited and be back on the tour, that's what I dig every night. On top of like meeting people, as cheesy as that sounds too.
Yeah.
That's always great, you know, because you see the new faces, you see your progress. It's like that working out in the mirror analogy David just gave. You see it, you know, and we do work out on tour. Christian, what's up, dude?
we brought some dumbbells. Yeah, we have the weighted bands and stuff.
Yeah.
And it helps because, you know, we're lifting heavy stuff every night. Yeah. Loading up and then, but, yeah. Also, what Renee, like, kind of like adding to what Renee said, all three of us are sober. We've been sober for, like, Christian and I have been sober for like 5 years and Renee's going on 2 years. And so that really, I think creates like a bond, like a stronger bond between the three of us that it feels like it's us. It's not like it's us against the audience because obviously they're with us there, but it just feels like it's our little transit, like kind of.
It's not to like put anyone down, but it's like we're on our own wavelength. And the reason why I say that is because there was a tour, like the last tour that I drank for, because prior to that, like it was me and the other, and we had different bases, and like we were getting drunk, and David was like, had already gotten sober.
Mm-hmm.
So he felt disconnected, you know, from the group, but me and the other homie were like, yeah, which is cool. And then once Christian joined, I felt like, now I was drinking by myself alone, and like I was the only drunk one on stage. And so even though I was, you know, still, we were jamming, like I could feel that, like I didn't notice it until I finally
got sober, and that I was like, oh, now we're all on the same wavelength, and now we're moving as a unit. Like, we're up there on the stage connected, and made me realize that disconnection that was there prior to that, you know. But so it really helped level things out, on top of being able to, like, get up early. So if we're lacking sleep, it's like we're tired from the lack of sleep and not hungover on top of that.
Yeah.
You know, we're tired from being hungover. And it's just work for us, you know?
Yeah.
We're not advocating. We're just, you know, explaining the experience that we go through now prior to this.
Thank you for sharing that. We're kind of talking about inspiration on performances and how performances inspire you. I'm also wondering if you have anything outside of performances that inspire you as artists, whether that's something creatively or musically, like what it is that you enjoy about being Tropa Mágica. And I know you've talked about, like, the aspects that you've brought into, like, the atmosphere, your cover art. Is there anything else outside of that that really, like, draws you to being, like, who you are, as Tropa Mágica?
There's a couple of things, but if, like the revival of, like, my enjoyment of drumming again, I have to credit that to my girlfriend, Linda Garisto. She brought, like, I started hanging out with her, and I got introduced to this different world of, like, Latin jazz, drummers. And I got to, like, experience rhythm and, you know, like, drumming as well from a different perspective. And that's really what set me on this journey to appreciate, like, being able to drum every day and every night. And, like, and then I started falling, I started, like, becoming a gearhead with cymbals, blah, 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 and so on and so on. But long story short, it's being introduced to a world of dance and, like, Latin music.
Yeah, for me, what I enjoy it. Why I enjoy being Tropa is that we're not King Gizzard, we're not Son Rompepera, we're not Alton Sinceres, we're not any other band, we're us. And I feel like when we show up, people know, they're going to know who we are. And that's always a beautiful feeling.
Yeah, that's awesome. So just circling back on, like, performances, because I know you're going to be coming up to Santa Cruz and Oakland next week. What is it that you enjoy about performing in Santa Cruz in the Bay Area, or even just in general, just being in this area, if there's anything that stands out to you from either place?
Santa Cruz, I love when the insoles show up and they start doing these cool dances, like the forest beach dances. You know, they're reaching for the stars, like walking the baby. I love that. And it's also, the weather is always kind of nice.
Yeah, it is. And I just want to say thank you so much for calling, and have great luck on the rest of your tour. Thank you for being with KZSE today.
Thank you for having us.